Thanks for joining us. Tonight, Lil Nas X once again sparking outrage, he says, by staying true to himself. Gay, proud, and out with a new song and a pair of sneakers, invoking fury of the fire and brimstone variety. Here's Nightline's Ashin Singh.
Take my horse to the old town road.
Some might say that Lil Nas X thrives on controversy.
I got the horses in the back, horse stock is attached. Head is matted black, got the boots black to match.
The 21-year-old pop star first became a household name with his song Old Town Road, one of the biggest hits of 2019.
1, 2, 3, let's say Old Town Road. 1, 2, 3, Old Town Road!
I got the horses in the back.
The song, when it first debuted, ignited a conversation about race and who gets to be country. And now, Lil Nas X is making headlines again. This time, some in the conservative Christian community in an uproar over his latest song and music video, Montero.
I'm not fazed, only innocent. If you rain in your garden, you know that you can.
Call me by your name.
Call me when you need.
It's these words and these images. Where Lil Nas X, who's openly gay, is seduced in the Garden of Eden, then slides down from heaven to hell on a pole and twerks on Satan that has people glued to their screens. With the music video gaining over 38 million views in just 3 days on YouTube.
Lil Nas X appeals to Lil Nas X fans, and there are a lot of them. These are people who like what he does, and what he does is as much about the internet and as much about the visuals as it is about the music.
But the racy song and video has some members of the conservative Christian community up in arms. Social media exploding with people reacting over what the song could mean for our souls.
How did you first react when you saw that video?
Disgusted at the highest level.
Pastor Mark Burns is an evangelical minister for the Harvest Praise and Worship Center in South Carolina.
He has a constitutional right to do so, to say so. Just as we Christians have a constitutional right to practice our faith. Having said that, it is still disgusting to see Lil Nas X acting as though he is having intercourse with Satan on television.
Burns says he became concerned after watching the music video and seeing Lil Nas advertising Satan shoes, modeled after Nike's Air Maxes and costing $1,018, after the Bible verse, Luke 10:18. The shoes allegedly contain a drop of human blood, in addition to traditional satanic imagery like the pentagram. Mischief, the creator of the shoe, reportedly saying they sold out in less than a minute.
Do you think Lil Nas X should be canceled?
As long as Lil Nas X is promoting what we consider one of the most damaging images in our culture, which is Satan, and to glorify Satan. If that's his belief system, he has a right to worship whoever he wants to worship. But we have a right to not buy his products. We have a right to go after the corporations that support him and back him.
Nike is now suing Mischief, saying Nike is in no way connected with this project, and Nike has not and does not approve or authorize the Satan shoes. In a press release, Lil Nas X suggested that the imagery in the music video was intended to address homophobia, saying he was harnessing his sexuality to seduce the devil and strip of his power as an evil force, while dismantling the throne of judgment and punishment that has kept many of us from embracing our true selves.
I think there's a better way to communicate that message. There are other ways to do that. You can use love. You can use, you know, togetherness. Now, I'm against any attack, verbally and physically, against LGBTQ community member in this country. But there's a better way to communicate.
Lil Nas tweeting his response to the controversy, writing a letter to his 14-year-old self, saying in part, "This will open doors for many other queer people to simply exist."
To me, the potential message to the youth in this video is that you can find strength in being exactly who you are, whoever that is.
Sarah Marshall co-hosts a pop culture podcast called You're Wrong About, which explores major media events from the past. Marshall says that the reaction to Lil Nas's video is just another example of the phenomenon Satanic Panic.
What actually are satanic panics, and why do we see them happening so often culturally, especially in response to pop music?
But it's always related to the idea that youth culture is becoming too powerful and transgressive, and also that American sexuality is becoming too shameless.
Lil Nas is not the first artist to use religious imagery in his music to push the boundaries. Pleased to meet you. From the Rolling Stones in Sympathy for the Devil. To Madonna in Like a Prayer.
There's just nothing new about this at all. In fact, it's so much a common trope of rock and roll that we have to conclude that Lil Nas X knew exactly what he was doing. He was invoking this heritage.
In a way, by putting out this letter and saying that I am pushing an agenda, does that allow him to control the narrative in a way?
He's conscious of what he's doing, and he's doing it in a particular way. And that means that he is attempting to control the narrative. But it's a big world, it's a big audience, and it's a big narrative.
It's a big responsibility for an artist who, just 2 years ago, was a college dropout, living on his sister's couch in Atlanta, determined to break through in any way possible.
Life was me moving from sibling to sibling house, promoting my music like through Twitter, and you know, barely getting any, you know, reaction out of anything.
How you doing, Nas?
I first spoke to Lil Nas in 2019, right when Old Town Road was the hottest song in the world, as he was navigating his way from internet anonymity to superstar.
I got the horses in the back.
Over the course of a few months, I was just putting it into memes and, you know, like kind of forcing it into the internet in a way.
I got the horses in the back. Horse stock is attached.
Old Town Road eventually went viral on TikTok, climbing Billboard's country music charts to number 19. But less than a week later, the song got the boot. In a statement to Rolling Stone, Billboard stated that the track does not embrace enough elements of today's country music to chart in its current version. That decision led to outrage online. Fans tweeting, wow, discrimination at its finest. After a remix with country legend Billy Ray Cyrus, the song took off, becoming the number one song on Billboard's Hot 100 for 19 weeks straight. One thing's clear. As Lil Nas X continues to blur lines between hip-hop and country, internet troll and global star, and now, heaven and hell. He keeps stirring the pot. And whether you like it or not, we're still talking about him.
I think it's a really beautiful video, and it feels like we are being asked to witness and appreciate a sexuality that has not been passed around Twitter and shown to everyone in this way before. And that it feels to me like a brilliant maneuver to make something beautiful and inspiring.
Our thanks to Ashin. Coming up, the stories of survival after a deadly round of tornadoes.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
Wednesday night on ABC, Brittany Griner, for the first time since being released from a Russian prison, shares her story.
You've been told to go through your bag, and you felt...
Felt the cartridge.
What were you thinking at that moment when you felt that?
My life is over right here.
Her sentence.
Just been told you're going to be 9 years in one of the worst prisons in Russia.
I was just so scared for everything, because there's just so much unknown.
Brittany Griner, Robin Roberts, Prisoner in Russia, Wednesday night at 10, 9 central on ABC.
Now to the deadly outbreak of roughly 40 tornadoes, leaving a trail of destruction across the South, killing at least six people and destroying the homes of hundreds more. Now the survivors searching through the rubble and recounting the moments they escaped the wrath of Mother Nature. Here's ABC's chief meteorologist, Ginger Zee.
This is a large, violent tornado that is down.
It was a long,
holy cow,
loud roar of wind.
Oh my God!
It almost sounded like just a freight train was right in the backyard.
In the heart of a deadly tornado outbreak, the tales of survival still have us in awe.
I kept telling him, I said, the lights are still on. And the guy said, your lights ain't on. He said, you don't have a roof.
I was praying. That was it.
At least 36 reported tornadoes ripping through 5 states, shredding towns and lives. 6 people were killed. Many more lost their home in an instant. And as tornado season ramps up, we, the scientists who study those tornadoes, have gotten really good at giving the general region and even the timing that you can expect violent, long-track tornadoes. But twisters are really small geographically, often less than a half mile wide. So to get that level of detail is not yet possible.
But you never know. The night before, you don't know exactly where the tornadoes will develop, exactly what track they will take. And that's the reason everybody has to be ready. And they do affect real people at a real place at a real time.
This year, Alabama has already been hit so hard. Just south of Birmingham, in those populated suburbs, the rolling hills and beautiful homes of the Eagle Point neighborhood were attacked by that twister.
By the grace of the good Lord, we're still alive and thankful, and we came out with these minor cuts.
We arrive around a half hour after the tornado, even before some of the authorities.
These are those raw moments where we show up and this tornado just went through. The fire and police just got the folks that were in this home out. They are alive. They went to the hospital. But there are homes with their roofs off, there are homes collapsed, and this is just one of the neighborhoods that was impacted.
For Mary Rose and Larry DeArmon, this is home. Both retired from the University of Alabama, just trying to enjoy the simple pleasures of life until this fateful afternoon.
I called my cousin, Felicia, and I said, call 911, we're trapped. And by that time, I hung up with her and I heard the neighbors hollering, and they dug us out.
And you climbed out?
I climbed out.
Of your home that you've lived in for how long?
21 years.
So you've been here 21 years. You have not had an experience like this.
Never.
But at this very moment, Mary Rose is searching for something so personal, so critical, her purse.
That's it. That's the purse.
Oh, you found the purse? Oh, no way. Here. Yes.
I'm not sure if their shock had totally worn off. They are understandably still shaken when I meet them.
Oh, the roaring from the wind, and then all at once the house started shaking.
With the weight of their entire home collapsing on them in their basement, the DeArmons got out thanks to the quick-thinking neighbors.
They put a ladder down to me, and they said, you need to start climbing the ladder. I said, I've never climbed a ladder before in my life. They said, well, you got to do it now. It happened so fast, so I went up that ladder like nobody's business.
When I finally got the door open and I saw across the street to Larry and Mary Rose's house, at that point, the only thing that mattered to me was them.
Tanya Sims is Mary's neighbor. She lives right across the street. And while her home is still standing, there's not that much that's salvageable.
If you look in here, her bedroom is open to the world. This is your master.
Yes.
And now the hard work begins.
I mean, I brought my babies home to this house, so we've been here, you know, every memory. There's a handprint on that wall behind you from where my son touched it when it was wet when I was painting. You know, we've got the wall where we measured them, you know, growing up.
As I was sitting right there watching the Weather Channel.
My colleague Elwin Lopez spent time with others who lived through this disaster.
So you huddled in the bathroom with your dog?
Yes, ma'am. Yep, closed the door, you know, had my dog. I was holding on to my dog because she was going crazy and, you know, the house was shaking. You know, that lasted, gosh, just a few seconds and then it was just gone. It was just complete silence.
You've got to be sheltered.
In Alabama, veteran meteorologist James Spann is a living legend. He happens to be my mentor.
All of these places right in through here are in danger.
He was on TV in the middle of what would be a 12-hour-long marathon of tornado warnings when he watched that tornado on the radar approaching his home.
What we're going to do right real quick is change my battery, Taylor, so we're going to go back to you for a second. I'll be right back.
Okay, so what I'm...
Tell me about when you realized that your house was being threatened and then hit.
Once it got within about 5 miles of my neighborhood, I knew that our house was right in the path of this thing. I felt this urgent responsibility, even though I know that our house, we have a weather radio, my wife has her phone. I had to make a direct communication with her to be sure that she's in a shelter, which we have at the house. The reason I had to step out, we've had major damage in my house. I've been out in the hall trying to be sure my family's okay. I've been doing this for 43 years, and I've never had one right over my house. I've never had one directly affect my house like this. We're going to be showing you live pictures of severe weather in the
His voice, a guide for decades in Alabama.
When we was downstairs, I had a little radio. One station got knocked off the air, so I just rolled it over again, and there was James Spann again.
Tornadoes are nothing new for our state, unfortunately, and I think the people of Alabama really responded to the messaging leading up to the event. Five people were killed in my state. That's five people too many, but the loss of life could have been much, much higher on that day.
Mobile homes are among the weakest in tornadoes. They just can't withstand 150-mile-per-hour winds, let alone 250. 70 miles away in Calhoun County, the devastation is abundant. The resources and finances, scarce.
If I was off work a little bit earlier, I would have went home and I'd have sat in the house, and I probably wouldn't be here today.
Five people died in the Ohatchee area, where Jake Armstrong has lived his whole life. In the mobile home park, he's lost all he's known.
I've lost everything that I had, and I didn't have insurance on my home or nothing. I've kept it up my whole life, and then after I paid the home off, I let it lapse, and this happened.
For families like the Armstrongs, building a common shelter might be their best chance at survival.
Every year with technology and the research that's being done, the warning process gets better and better and better. But at the same time, we have to have the right messaging. People have to hear those warnings. If the warnings are good and they're timely, but if people don't hear them, they don't do any good. You have to have a NOAA weather radio and a smartphone. And people are getting that message. And when they get the warning, they're starting to respond. They're starting to do the right thing. It's really been working well this year.
For now, these folks are just left picking up the pieces. Yes, they're looking to the future and hoping for the best, but it's tornado season. They have to prepare for the worst.
I don't really know what I've lost, tell you the truth. Reality hasn't even hit me good yet.
We've been here a long time, but we've never been through a tornado. Mm-hmm. They've hit all around us, but I tell you one thing, I never want to go through another one.
Finally tonight, the new face of justice. At just 13 years old, Ashlyn So of Burlingame, California, already making a name for herself in fashion. Now the teen merging two passions, art and activism, supporting the Asian American community and calling for justice, creating face masks with the words "Stand for Asians" and inspiring hope in others to stop the hate. Our thanks to ABC's Localish for that story. And that's Nightline for tonight. You can watch our full episodes on Hulu. We'll see you right back here same time tomorrow. Thanks for staying up with us. Good night, America.
Wednesday night on ABC, Brittany Griner, for the first time since being released from a Russian prison, shares her story.
You've been told to go through your bag, and you felt...
Felt the cartridge.
What were you thinking at that moment when you felt that?
My life is over right here.
Her sentence.
Just been told you're going to be 9 years in one of the worst prisons in Russia.
I was just so scared for everything, because there's just so much unknown.
Brittany Griner, Robin Roberts, Prisoner in Russia. Wednesday night at 10, 9 central on ABC.